In recent weeks, multiple accusations have been made against retired Penn State football coach Jerry Sandusky, alleging that he abused children attending summer programs hosted by his charitable foundation, Second Mile. In addition, certain coaches and university officials, including legendary Joe Paterno, have resigned or been fired or suspended following revelations that they knew of these deplorable acts. This terrible story raises many questions, but today we focus on just one. What is a person's duty to rescue another? At common law, we have no duty to rescue others that we see in peril, even if we are able to do so at no risk or cost to ourselves. If I see a baby drowning in a puddle, I can legally keep walking. This legal rule seems to go against our moral sense of right and wrong. However, it survives for several reasons. First, most of our laws prohibit actions but do not compel positive actions, including altruism or charity. Second, if the law imposed a duty to rescue, the extent of that duty would be unclear. Would I need to prop up the baby? Pick it up and carry it somewhere? Take it home and send it to college? Lastly, we do not want to encourage risky rescue attempts that may result in two harms instead of one. Though anecdotes of passive mobs horrify us, true instances are rare. Indeed, the most cited example, the 1964 rape and murder of Kitty Genovese in front of 38 neighbors, may be an exaggeration at best and a false news article at worst. That being said, some states have enacted so-called reporting statutes that come in two varieties. The first type is rare and imposes a duty on a witness to a serious crime to report that crime if it is riskless for her to do so. Four states even require witnesses to give aid to victims if able. The second type of statute is more common and requires certain types of persons to report suspected or known child abuse. Pennsylvania statute requires persons who come into contact with children as part of their job, including school administrators and teachers, to report suspected abuse. And if the person who suspects immediately notifies the person in charge of the school, then that person is required to report. In the most repeated accusation, then-graduate assistant and now assistant coach Mike McQueary witnessed Sandusky abusing a 10-year-old boy in the university locker room. The next day, he met with Paterno and then with two other university officials. Though what McQueary may have said or done in the locker room is unclear, he had no legal duty to intervene, even though he was young, large, and athletic, and the perpetrator was old, unclothed, and unarmed. In addition, he may not have had a legal duty to report what he saw, given that he arguably was not a school administrator or teacher who came into contact with children. But he did give a report to Paterno, a required reporter. As an employee, if Paterno truthfully communicated what he knew to the Penn State athletic director, who then relayed the report to the university president, then his legal obligations may have been satisfied. However, the statute then depends upon the person in charge to report to the police, which did not seem to happen here. Failure to make such a report in Pennsylvania is a misdemeanor in the third degree. Regardless of whether Penn State employees are found to have satisfied their minimal reporting obligations, the university and officials may be liable under tort law for any abusive acts that occurred after Sandusky's criminal propensity was known, if the university did nothing to prevent future harm. However, that is a topic for another day. This is Christine Hurt.